the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
Yeah, his Bradness. Right here, live from Houston, Texas. For another hour or two of Impeachment Friday. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
All right, we're taking your calls right now. As they say about Nancy Pelosi, we're taking your calls on impeachment. If you think you ought to be impeached, let us know. I'd also like to hear from Democrats out there who hear why George W. Bush and Dick Cheney should not be impeached. Let us know at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also stop by bradblog.com in the open thread. At the very top of the page there, bradblog.com, join the conversation with Agent 99, Judge of Judges, Floor Idiot, and all the good folks at the bradblog.com open thread over there. All right, we're going to have Elizabeth de la Vega momentarily, the author of U.S.V. Bush. But I want to get some comments from her on this incredible story that is breaking today in the Washington Post. George W. Bush's administration feels that the Department of Justice cannot file criminal complaint, criminal contempt charges against him. It's an amazing story. Let me give you the summary that was from our good friends at rawstory.com. A senior Bush administration official unveiled a new strategy in today's Washington Post. Anonymously, of course, to combat Democrats in Congress who are clamoring to file contempt charges against officials who refuse to talk about the firing of nine U.S. prosecutors. In some, Raw Story says, in some, this strategy amounts to, once we say no, we can't be charged. Ironically, President Bush's new legal argument hinges on whether one of his own U.S. prosecutors can file charges against his staff. According to the Post, quote, administration officials argued yesterday that Congress has no power to force a U.S. attorney to pursue contempt charges in cases in which the president has declared that testimony or documents are protected from release by executive privilege. The official pointed to a Justice Department legal opinion during the Reagan administration, which made a similar case. A U.S. attorney, this is the senior official, a U.S. attorney would not be permitted to bring contempt charges or convene a grand jury in an executive privilege case, the senior official told the Post. And a U.S. attorney would not be permitted to argue against the reasoned legal opinion that the Justice Department provided. Under law, a contempt citation by the House or Senate must be submitted to Washington, D.C. U.S. attorney, who then brings the charge to a grand jury. This is an incredible story. George Mason University professor of public policy Mark Rozell called the administration's stance astonishing and a breathtakingly broad view of the president's role in this system of separation of powers. What this statement is saying, Rozell told the Post, is that the president's claim of executive privilege trumps all. An amazing statement, and an amazing position, although we shouldn't be amazed anymore with this bunch. To talk about that and oh so much more, Elizabeth de la Vega is a former federal prosecutor herself. She was an assistant U.S. attorney in Minneapolis, as well as a member of the Organized Crime Strike Force in San Jose, California. Since her retirement in 2004, she's been a regular contributor to TomDispatch.com. And, of course, her articles have also appeared in The Nation, L.A. Times, Salon, Mother Jones. And she is not in the Witness Protection Program, at least not yet. She's also the author of United States v. Bush. Elizabeth de la Vega, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Boy, did you hear that summary of that Post piece today?
Oh, yes. I read that earlier today.
Well,
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not so much that we have reason to be amazed anymore, but I still can feel shocked because they do continue to do these shocking things, and this is the latest. And I do think that this is one, if they haven't done it before, Congress really needs to get serious at this point because they're just being completely defiant and they have absolutely no grounds for taking this position.
They are, it sounds like they are willing to do and to say anything at this point that they need to say. And, well, Congress doesn't seem to get that, but Mark Rozelle called it astonishing, a breathtakingly broad view of the president's role in the system of separation of powers. Do we have anything that compares to this, to a statement like this, as far as you know, in presidential history in regard to the executive privilege
claim? Well, I think that during Watergate, Nixon did try to take that approach, just at least in conversations with his people internally, but they talked him out of it. It seems that every single time, and I think Patrick Leahy pointed this out, that a president has tried to take that position, there has ended up some kind of accommodation. I don't think that's going to happen in this case. And I really think that it's almost as if the Bush administration is asking to be impeached because there really is no other reasonable solution to this problem right now. It is not true that the president can instruct people in the Department of Justice not to charge his own people, especially when he's implicated in this as well. And
that is just a phony argument. In other words, the president has no right to tell a Justice Department who can and cannot be prosecuted, including himself, for anything that the prosecutor then chooses on their own to take up, correct?
Right. Well, because the prosecutor, and we've had this discussion about the U.S. attorney firings as well. The prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, is appointed by the president, but once he or she becomes the U.S. attorney, they have to be independent, and their loyalty and their oath is to the laws of the United States. So this contempt law that you alluded to before is one that's been in existence actually since 1857, and it was signed into law by a president. And so it's a statute that has to be followed. So the procedure would not be, if you want to challenge a statute, for the president just simply to say, well, you can't charge this. It's a clear abuse of power. So what happens then is that there are these different scenarios, ways that Congress can respond, and none of them is particularly good, particularly effective. But one of them is that they can, first of all, the reason this all comes up is that they would have to find someone in contempt, and that would be Harriet Myers and Joshua Bolten for not showing up.
Myers and Bolton had been subpoenaed to turn over documents and to show up and give a testimony in Congress, correct?
Right. So what my approach would be if I were in Congress and or if they wanted to ask my opinion would be that they should just proceed and completely ignore what the president has said right now because he actually hasn't said it in any formal way. In fact, no one has even ascribed a name to the person who's saying it. They should proceed, find these two in contempt, and refer the matter to the D.C. U.S. attorney. At that point, if the president says to the U.S. attorney in a formal way, you can't proceed, that is a ground for impeachment.
That alone, him actually giving that edict out loud or in written terms that you cannot follow this, that would be impeachable in and of itself.
Oh, right. Especially when, and you really can't divorce any one act at this point from the whole course of conduct that we've had leading up to this because the administration's been defying the law for years. But yes, that in and of itself, it's very similar to what was Article 3 in the impeachment articles against Nixon, which was defying congressional subpoenas.
Was that one, and that was actually, because they had passed, did they pass impeachment articles or did he resign before they actually got to pass
them? Well, the House passed them.
Right.
And then he resigned.
Right.
But yes, in fact, it's interesting because it was actually this coming week, the last week in July in 1974, that, well, actually the vote was in August, but kind of things are hitting the fan in July. But the third article of impeachment specifically says that in violation of his duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, the president failed without lawful cause or excuse to produce papers and things as directed by duly authorized subpoenas issued by the Judiciary Committee, and then they list a bunch of dates. Well, this has been going on for months.
Elizabeth, that was back when we used to give a damn about the rule of law in this country and presidents. Believe it or not, George W. Bush seems to make Richard Nixon seem like a piker. We're going to take a quick break here, talk about much more on this topic for the entire hour, and our phones are wide open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm Brad Friedman here with Elizabeth De La Vega talking about impeachment on Impeachment Friday. Got a lot more ahead. Stay with us.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
And there we go, folks, taking a look at the very latest traffic. And we are going to start off with a problem as soon as our CHP computer lets us. We have a problem in King City. It's northbound 101 just before Hudson. It's some debris in the roadway. It may be blocking a lane. Hollister, State Route 25 at Bolsa Road. We have a problem there. It's a crash. And unfortunately, not a lot of details at this point. We also had a problem on Well, here we go. San Jose, this is Hollister. It's southbound 101 at Maston Avenue. And this is a crash here. No injuries, but it's a van and a Honda off to the right-hand shoulder. A problem on northbound 17 just before Paso Tiempo. That's in Santa Cruz. And that one being reported. And this report brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas. Your great Las Vegas getaway by begins by visiting Luxor.com.
Yes, indeed. It's Impeachment Friday. Abusing all the power that we gave him. Who gave it to him? Yeah, that's what he did. This is Impeachment Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly guest host, citizen blogger, investigative journalist, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in for the full hour here with Elizabeth De La Vega, author of USB Bush. We're all scratching our heads wondering how we got into this mess. More important, how the hell are we going to get out of it? We're taking your calls on impeachment. In favor? Against it? Are you a Democrat but think we shouldn't impeach this guy? Let us know why. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Or take part in the chat room over at bradblog.com. The top item is an open thread. We're keeping an eye on it. I'm keeping a pretty good eye on it, as a matter of fact. Got any questions for Elizabeth De La Vega in the chat room? Give us a holler there or on the phone. All right, Elizabeth. So we were talking about the particular mess that we're currently facing here today when Bush's anonymous, and we can only call this a trial balloon, I think, putting out this idea that, well, if the president says that a U.S. attorney cannot bring charges or cannot go to a grand jury with a congressional contempt citation, the president gets the last word because he's claimed executive privilege. And you say there is no real constitutional or legal basis for that claim, correct?
Well, no, it's completely an abuse of power. In fact, speaking of Nixon again, I was just reading a book called Breach of Faith, which is by Theodore White, about the facts about Watergate. And one thing that happened, and this shows up on the tapes, is that in earlier, before August of 1974, a guy named Henry Peterson, who was in charge of issuing immunity orders or applications at the Department of Justice, was called in by Nixon. And Nixon wanted him not to give immunity to John Dean because that would keep John Dean from talking. And this fellow, Henry Peterson, said, "Well, Mr. President, I would consider that to be advisory, but my duty is to the laws of the United States." And he was absolutely right. Now, whether Jeffrey Taylor would do that is a whole other issue. And
Jeffrey Taylor is the U.S. Attorney from D.C.?
Right. And he clearly has a long history with the Bush administration, and he was actually involved at the Department of Justice under Gonzales when they were putting forward the Patriot Act and so forth. But the issue to me is not so much whether he would do it or not, but rather if the president tells him to refuse to comply, then Congress needs to move forward with impeachment.
Well, on that basis alone, right there,
well,
you got
that
it.
That's one.
No, but I'm saying that alone is boom, impeachable,
right,
enough,
right,
giving an illegal order like that.
Right, and you know, I suppose we could speculate if the president had not done any of the other things we know he did, and this is the first one,
mm-hmm,
would that be sufficient? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But given that we know all the other things he's done, and we have so many people in Congress even acknowledging, yes, there have been impeachable offenses, but we just don't want to go forward with them, this to me is such a clear-cut case that if they don't go forward with it, they might as well just close up shop in terms of oversight.
Agreed. Let's take a quick call here. Billy in Capitola, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey.
What's on your mind, Billy?
Well, so we're in the cover-up phase now of the presidential crimes.
It seems as much. And so what do you think? How do we proceed?
We just need to be very clear about that. And the question, of course, is, you know, how do we compel these chicken Democrats to stand up and do their jobs? You know, one of the things they do is they count the votes of the Senate, which disgusts me. Is the Senate the place where, in fact, the trial occurs?
Yes.
So I just want the trial to occur. I don't want to guarantee the result. That's not American.
Well, you know, Billy, and you're absolutely right. Elizabeth, we hear a lot of times that, oh, they can't move forward with impeachment. In fact, I think it was Maurice Hinchey last week on the Peter B. Collins show, congressman from New York, had said, well, they can't move forward with impeachment. They don't have the votes in the Senate. They only have one vote. But the fact is, the Senate has nothing to do with impeachment. Am I correct?
Right. Well. First of all, what's really confusing about impeachment, and I find myself doing this as well, impeachment means a process. It doesn't mean the final act of getting rid of the president or whoever the office holder is. So the question is right now, do we have enough information to know that the House should begin impeachment hearings?
That's not a question.
Well, it is. It's a legal question or a political question.
But you know,
really.
But it all is, and you know, we're all sane human beings. Let's not play that game where it's up to an opinion.
No. It's not an opinion. That's the issue. So the issue is obviously the answer is yes, and so that means that Congress should go forward with the impeachment hearings.
And you know,
and
the insult that they're laying out, as you point, right now, with all this refusal to allow people to testify, it's amazing how bold they are, because this might just be enough for these spineless Democrats to get mad to actually do something.
We'll see if that happens. I got to get out for a break here.
Hey,
we'll,
one more thing.
Yes, sir, quickly.
You're wrong about this is impeachment Friday. Every day on the Peter B. Collins show is impeachment, and I might add, thank you for this, let's get the voting thing right.
We're going to have our Election Integrity Hour on Impeachment Friday in the next hour. But you're absolutely right, Billy. Thanks for the call, Elizabeth. Hang with us. We got a whole lot more Impeachment Friday. Let's call it Impeachment July. Let's call it Impeachment 2007. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Give us a shout. We want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Much more ahead. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Specialized
Think for yourself.
The Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments. Gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The race to be super small is underway with an $85 million federal investment to build nano products.
Every once in a while, there's a fundamental change in directions. Nanoscience has the capacity to create one of these transforming events in science.
A tour of a nanotech foundry after this. I've done a lot of traveling in my day, and I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised, because in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. Everything you need to get started making money on the internet is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Call 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011.
The Lawrence Berkeley National Lab has opened the Molecular Foundry, a state-of-the-art facility bringing together the biggest scientists who think very, very small in a variety of disciplines.
Like chemistry, biology, nanofabrication. And there aren't too many institutes. I think somebody could find so much expertise in all these different disciplines with this much creative energy.
Foundry Director Carolyn Bertozzi. The Nanoscience Center is one of five funded by the Department of Energy to accelerate research into solving the world's most pressing problems, including biotech, diseases, and energy.
You know, if we can contribute to the solar energy problem, if we can create new medical diagnostics and smart therapeutics, those are two things that could really revolutionize the way we function as a society.
Current projects include the LOFTY, like instructing atomic-scale quantum dots to find cancerous cells, and the mundane, like scratch-proof paint.
It's going to grow into being a big part of everyday life.
David Foreman edits the nanotech trade journal Small Times magazine. There's nothing small-time about the effort, however.
People are looking at alternative ways to make solar cells using new materials that convert light into energy. That's a good example of the kind of work going on at the Molecular Foundry. It's about bridging the gap between academia, industry, and consumers.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Are you getting enough?
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away, but the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
Now I can understand why you were hot, 'cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame, tried to tell us it was all the same. But now the years roll by and our kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. And those WMD you promised on TV, hey, admit it, you figured it wrong. So I'm taking my country back.
Oh, yeah. We're taking the country back right here on Impeachment Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. We just made our good friend Odie McClay very happy with that tune. Take the country back, Odie.
Now you don't.
Even Texas. That's right. Live from the bowels of KPFT, Pacifica affiliate here in Houston, Texas, on Impeachment Friday with Elizabeth De La Vega, author of United States v. Bush, taking your calls on impeachment, looking for a good reason to not impeach.
Son, you ain't been doing her right.
No, you ain't. All right. Give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. For some reason, the line's filled up when we talk about this thing. Go figure. Elizabeth, do we have Elizabeth back? Okay, great. Elizabeth, one of the arguments against impeachment, people seem to think that they don't understand the difference, that impeachment is actually an indictment. It's not throwing the president out of office, correct?
Exactly. It's an investigation. And John Nichols, who wrote The Genius of Impeachment, talks about it as an organic process. So it's not that it's a done deal. We have more than enough information to know that there is what you could compare to probable cause. So we have more than probable cause to know that the president has abused his power in so many different ways that it really is irresponsible for Congress not to go forward with impeachment hearings.
I would argue they have a constitutional duty to do so, or else whoever comes after Bush at this point, the bar is forever lowered. Am I right about that?
Well, absolutely. We have a president who has blatantly violated the wiretapping law. He's blatantly violated torture statutes, on and on and on. Your listeners don't even really need to know what they are.
At this point, we all know, actually.
Yeah, we all know. And so we're really essentially, and so much of it is on TV, it's like we're watching a serial criminal on TV committing bank robbery after bank robbery, and we're all just sitting around saying, boy, this is bad.
Holding the door open for them as load the money in and
out. You know, it's really long past time for Congress to say, you know, if you don't do what we say, we're going to really be mad at you.
We're going to send you another angry letter. Let's get a call. Laird in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Question for Elizabeth de la Vega. Oh, Laird. Oh, that was cool. Let's go to where am I here? Don in Hollister. Oh, Don.
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me on. I love you, Elizabeth. I love your thought process and the way you're pursuing this. We need more people like you out there. Getting back to the Senate debate the other day, and these ploys they're using against the Iraq thing, and they're doing the same thing to keep the impeachment from coming forward. Is these ploys that the longer they delay everything, they're hoping that Bush gets out of office because he's disrupted the Republican Party so bad and made it so distrustful that there's no way a Republican's going to win the party in 08 unless, you know, somehow they can drag out that he's not being impeached. That was one of the tactics they used against Clinton. They knew if they brought him up for impeachment, it would show disloyalty and distrust within the Democratic Party, that they for sure would build this media blitz against the Democrats to give them this family values attitude, which is only a ploy. I mean, you use family values or you use religion as a political tool.
So, Don, are you saying that the question here is, are the Democrats just stringing this on and not going to impeachment because they feel it's politically to their advantage to not impeach? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I think they should impeach. It would be more to their political advantage. I think right now both the Democrats and the Republicans, they're both being paid by the same lobbyists. And they are working together to drag this on. The Democrats could be stronger. They could be going forward with impeachment processes, whatever. Like you said, the wiretapping thing, that's a federal offense.
All right. Let me...
I don't understand. The Democrats have to be stronger and go forward, but they're working together to help this delay so Bush would get out of office, and Democrats are just hoping they get in they just roll in.
All right, thanks for
that. That might not happen because the Republican Party has such a strong media blitz behind them, and Democrats need to hire a good public relations firm.
Yeah, they do. Let me. Thanks, Don. I appreciate the call. Elizabeth, what about that? We've heard this argument from Democrats that they don't want to, that we've got a presidential election year coming up, and they seem all of them that I've talked to, they said, oh, look what happened to the Republicans when they tried this. It killed them in 1998. Is that a legitimate argument at this point?
No, I don't think that's a legitimate argument at all. And the fact of the matter is, it didn't kill the Republicans that drastically, considering that we ended up with George W. Bush as the next president after Clinton. But more than that, as you mentioned before, it's just completely irresponsible and really a violation of their duty. But your caller is right. Both sides have their own reasons for delaying, and I think that the Democrats could very well find themselves a year from now with most of their base saying, why should we elect you? You haven't done anything that we wanted you to do, and you merely sat by and watched this crime go on.
Well, I know you're not a politician, but is there any, as you see it, is there any legitimacy to this idea that if they bring impeachment, that this will hurt them with, they say, you know, middle of America, who wants to get things done rather than, get stuck in another protracted legal battle like this?
Well, you're right. I'm not a politician, but from my perspective and looking at the polls and so forth, it just doesn't seem like that's at all possible, because what we have right now is the majority of people in this country, more than, I think it's 60% want the Bush administration to be over. The opposition to his commutation of Libby's sentence was over two-thirds of the people. And this this latest set of events, I can't imagine that people won't be absolutely outraged about this, because it's just like absolute spitting in the face of Congress.
Let's take another call here. Phyllis from Bellevue, Washington. Welcome to the PBC show. Phyllis? There we go. We just got you, Phyllis. What's up?
Hey, Elizabeth, you've written a really eloquent book. I have two questions for you. Number one, the state of Washington, like Vermont and New Hampshire, has passed at the Senate level a state-level impeachment bill to try to force the hand of the House of Representatives to begin impeachment proceedings. Number one, do you think that's that we have a chance? Because I think we do in January when we're back in session. What I love about it is there are 17,000 citizens in petition to drive it, so it's really a citizen-driven initiative. Mm-hmm. And then number two, do you think impeachment is enough?
Oh.
What else are you suggesting, Phyllis?
Well, I think war crimes tribunals are probably after impeachment.
I got you. Okay, thanks for that call, Phyllis.
Elizabeth? I think that I kind of like to focus the present, and I do think impeachment right now is what the focus should be. Whether that's enough ultimately, I don't know. And the key about impeachment, by the way, is that it's not a punitive thing. It's something that's designed to remedy the constitutional imbalances that we have right now. So for me right now, yes, impeachment is enough, and not only enough, but necessary. As to your other part of your question about the Washington resolution, I think that's an outstanding thing to do, and I know that there was one pending there before that was blocked by the senator, actually. Senator Patty Murray came in to the state legislature and lobbied against it, but I think the more states and cities that do that, the more it becomes absolutely undeniable that the people of the United States want to see this happening.
All right, let's take our phones are filling up, so give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. Who do we have here? Laird is back. Okay, Laird, I'm not even sure where he is. From Eureka. Laird, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. I've been listening. First of all, a couple of things I agree with. The war crimes thing is tempting, but we need to go one step at a time. And, you know, impeachment is the first thing. The problems with impeachment, there's a couple. First of all, the Justice Department, the executive branch, the president, does have the right to tell the Justice Department what to do and not to do. It's part of the executive branch. So it's a question for the courts as to whether the president can say, hey, don't prosecute me. Okay. The second thing is Nixon was never impeached, so there's no precedent set there. The proceedings had started, but they never finished before he resigned. So to go back to Nixon's case is kind of, again, a legal quagmire. You know, it's just something to throw. And overall, this is one of the biggest problems that we're going to have with impeachment. It's going to be in and out of the courts. It's going to be delayed. It's going to be stonewalled.
Well, wait a minute now. Why would impeachment be in the courts at all? Impeachment is a strictly congressional act. Am I correct, Elizabeth?
For the reasons that I just mentioned. If the issues, for instance, of the Justice Department are brought up, then it should be up to the courts to decide whether the executive branch has the authority to tell the Justice Department what to do.
Okay, well, yeah, Elizabeth, you've already said that it is not up to the...
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Well, I explained it already, that
Here's
attorney is not working for the president. The U.S. attorney is sworn to uphold the laws of the United States, and that is his main and really only duty. So it's not a question for the courts, and impeachment doesn't go to the courts at all.
Here's the thing, Elizabeth. This president and this administration do not play by the rules. And I guarantee you, They're going to use every turn they can.
Well, they can do anything they want. They can try anything they want. It doesn't make it legal. And furthermore, whatever they decide to do in the executive branch, whatever they try to stop in the Justice Department or make use of the judiciary, impeachment is entirely the act of Congress, period. It has nothing to do with those other folks.
I disagree. The courts can get involved if legal questions are raised.
Okay, Laird, we got to get to a break, but okay. Elizabeth, thanks for the call, Laird. I appreciate it. Elizabeth, is he right there?
No. Actually, he kind of proved the point of impeachment. The fact that the Bush administration does not play by the rules is the very reason why we need to move forward with the remedy of impeachment. If they followed the rules, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why it was constitutionally given to the Congress, period. Not the certainly not the executive branch, not the judiciary branch. It's Congress, period. That's all that matters when it comes to impeachment. And for that matter, it's not even Congress. It's the House. The House determines impeachment. And if they decide to impeach, guess what? We get to put George W. Bush and Dick Cheney on the stand, on trial in the Senate to get evidence and testimony. And then it can be determined whether they should or shouldn't be removed from office in the Senate.
Right.
I'm right on that, right?
Yeah, a good way to think about it is in the House there are impeachment hearings, and then if they vote on articles of impeachment, those go to the Senate, and then there's a trial. So it's a step-by-step kind of thing.
All right. We got KP, who's just heard John Conyers speak. She's going to fill us in after this break. We got more with Elizabeth De La Vega, author of United States v. Bush. Go read the book. She makes the case, and I suppose she could have written a sequel since that original one. You're listening to Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins on The Peter B. Collins Show. Much more right after this.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. TGIF, everybody. Santa Cruz Mountains got a major problem working there, southbound 17 before the Redwood Estates. It is a disabled big rig. It's blocking the right lane. Now, they're waiting for a big rig tow truck to arrive on scene. The problem now, of course, is the traffic is slow from Hamilton Avenue in Campbell. So if you're traveling in that direction, be advised, major problem there. Monterey County, Highway 68 at Laurels. Of course, the Mazda Raceway at Laguna Seca hosts the U.S. Grand Prix, and the events start today through Sunday, and expect major delays through the area. Watsonville, Murphy's crossing at 121 right, 129 right shoulder, two vehicles involved. And in Gilroy, eastbound 52 before 101 and 156, extremely slow traffic reported there. Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street, left lane blocked, two vehicle crash. Flexure Power reminds you that if every California household replaces five regular lights with CFLs, it'll be like taking 400 cars off the...
Back on the Peter B. Collins Show, speaking with Elizabeth de la Vega, the author of United States, The Bush. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. We got one more segment, taking your calls on Impeachment Friday. Interesting question has come up, Elizabeth, here in the studio during one of these constitutional questions that I just love. If you impeach Dick Cheney... Mm-hmm. He's the president of the Senate. So who presides over impeachment hearings in the Senate in the event of the impeachment of a vice president?
Actually, the person who presides over the trial is the Chief Justice.
That's right. He presides over the trial, so the constitutional duties of a vice president in an impeachment hearing, or whatever we call
a trial. You're saying, but in the House?
No, in the trial, is there any constitutional duty that, because the VP is the president of the Senate, mm-hmm. do they have any responsibility during a trial in a Senate?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but my inclination would be to say no. I think that part of his duty would be abrogated during the time that he was...
He only gets to vote in the event of a tie, and there wouldn't be a tie here because you have to have 67 votes to convict
right,
in the Senate, right?
Right.
Okay, let's take a quick question. Oh, man, what these guys are making us go through. A quick call from KP, who attended, who just heard John Conyers speak. KP, welcome to the PBC show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Exciting.
It's good to have you here. Are you Kay Pete from Democratic Underground?
I am Kay Pete. Uh-huh.
Good to talk to you, Kay Pete. What's Conyers have to say for himself?
Well, it was, I just found out about it yesterday and came down to the Holiday Inn to hear him and wasn't sure what to expect, but he was...
Is that in D.C. or Michigan?
Yeah, this is San Diego.
Oh, he's in San Diego right now.
San Diego this afternoon. He came in, he was just beautiful, and got goosebumps right away. The first thing he said is, before he even stopped as he was walking in the door, was, what are we waiting for? Let's take these two guys out. It was just like everybody just went crazy.
That's what Conyers said?
That's what Conyers said. Those were his words. Let's take these two guys out. And later on, he repeated that again, and he said Cheney first, and he talked about getting out of Iraq, and he talked about it being all about the oil, that enough was enough.
Well, great, KP, but he's the president of he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee where this thing happens and where impeachment happens.
He said to be patient. He said he needed all of our help. He said he needed citizens behind him, backing him. Mm-hmm. He was very straightforward. He came in. He looked a little bit tired. He was just amazing. I know a lot about politics, but I haven't met a lot of politicians. But he just talked to everybody. He was just incredibly sincere.
Thanks for checking in on that, KP. I'm only going to drop you here because we got to move on. We're almost at the top of the hour. I got to get out. Thanks for letting us know. We're going to follow up more with Conyers next week. And let me see if I can get in one more here. Thomas in Santa Cruz, welcome to the PBC show. Got a quick question?
Yeah, hi, Brad. Thank you, and Elizabeth. There's no question. There's just amen. You know, if Conyers is serious, it's way past due. Like Elizabeth was saying, I don't remember exactly what she said, but we have, in my view, one of the worst criminals in our history running our country, and we're all walking around making jokes. These men need to be in prison, not in the White House.
I suspect Elizabeth concurs. Thanks for the call, Thomas.
You betcha.
You want to see these guys in jail or just out of office, Elizabeth de la Vega?
My concern is to see them out of office. I don't have any desire to see punishment right now. I think the main thing is that we need to get our system of government back, and we're losing it.
When did you publish your book originally, Elizabeth?
It came out in December of last year, 2006.
Hmm. And, okay, I was thinking it was longer ago than that, because I suspect there are a few more articles you could add
this
point.
Yeah, well, I just want to make it clear about the book. It's a hypothetical indictment about the pre-war intelligence fraud, but I say in the introduction I'm not suggesting that they should be indicted, but rather making the point that given that we have so much evidence that they did commit this one crime, at least, and we know there are many more, but I chose this one, that Congress really has no choice but to do what it's supposed to do. It can't just shrug its shoulders and say, oh, well.
They have a constitutional duty, correct?
Right.
It's not their choice. It's not optional.
No, it's not optional. And we need people to act like statesmen and stateswomen rather than people who are politicians. The whole point of my book regarding the president and the vice president is that once you become a public official, you have higher duties. And the same is true with Congress. So I'm really asking Congress to fulfill the same obligations analogously as I'm asking the president and the vice president. And clearly they've failed.
Yes, they have. Well, it's interesting. We spoke with Cindy Sheehan. They're heading to D.C. on Monday to sit in on Conyers' office until he either begins impeachment proceedings or they get arrested. Interesting news coming from Kay Pete now from John Conyers. You got to bet on what's going to happen Monday. Impeachment proceedings begin or they get arrested.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I read that monkeys are able to predict as well as pundits, so I don't like to predict things.
Smartly done. Elizabeth de la Vega, author of United States v. Bush. You write over at TomDispatch.com?
Yes, I do, and a lot of articles are on Truth Out and Common Dreams and so forth. But
so no specific website, just look out all over for you. You're making noise wherever you can.
Right, exactly.
All right, pick up her book, Elizabeth de la Vega, United States v. Bush. Thanks for sitting in with us. We'll be back. I'll be back next week. We may be calling on you again, Elizabeth.
Sure, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks much. Appreciate it. Okay, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on Impeachment Friday, and we're going to be back with our Election Integrity Hour. I don't know if we have any more impeachment calls on the line or not, but now we'll take your election integrity calls, because guess what? We wouldn't have to be impeaching them in the first place if we had an election system that made any sense. We're going to talk to our friend John Gideon from VotersUnite.org, Ken Karen down in San Diego, and many, many more, I hope, of your calls. We're going to fix this damn system.